Ruby Rider here, and I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk with you about from last weekend. I know I came home and I did the whole toxic toy information overload, made up for it by reading you erotica, and that was awesome, but you know, that conference that I went to was filled with many, many wonderful, wonderful things. First of all, it was called Catalyst Con. It took place in Long Beach. And the byline on that says, "Sparking communication in sexuality, activism, and acceptance." The creator of Catalyst Con is Dee Dennis. She's got a blog called Diva's World that she has since not done too much on because she's putting her efforts towards all kinds of wonderful sex-positive conferences all over the country. I love what it said on Dee's blog, though. On Diva's World, it says, "Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind." Nice. So, one of the things that Dee said about Catalyst Con, this was the second year that it's been on the West Coast, and the first one I did not make it to, I didn't know anything about it. Dee said this, "This conference is meant to energize, enlighten, and exhilarate a positive discussion about sexuality, the current state of women's rights, and to encourage people to take action in their local communities. Now more than ever, we need to continue to educate ourselves and share that knowledge to help ignite change." So, yes, there was so much going on in this convention. It was absolutely amazing. So it's the second year for Catalyst Con. I'm very glad I found it. And you know, this is how I felt when I went there. I felt like I found my tribe. I swear. It was the coolest thing. It was like there's this entire group of totally sex-positive people from all walks of life. It was absolutely awesome. There were sex educators, there were therapists, there were sex workers, there were authors, there were pro-doms, bloggers, podcasters, sex toy retailers, you name it. And it was almost like a highbrow sex conference. It was really awesome. I so enjoyed myself, and there were overlaps everywhere as far as people that I had been following on the internet, that I had come across here and there, and all of a sudden there they were in front of me. And the conference wasn't so big so that they were inaccessible. They were all very accessible. I so enjoyed the entire thing. First of all, as you know from my last podcast, Jennifer Pritchett, she was the most exciting one for me to meet because I've been following her work for a long time with the toxic toy stuff. So that was totally awesome. I also got to meet a man named Reed Mahalko. That's spelled R-E-I-D, and he has a website called readaboutsex.com, and I'm going to put all of these links to these people on my blog, so don't worry about that. As always, all the links will be there. Reed is awesome. I don't know, to me he seemed like a renegade sex educator. He bills himself as a sex and relationship role model, but he's all over the place teaching people about relationships and sex. And his byline is, "Be the change you want to see in the bedroom." And it was kind of funny how I met Reed. I was sitting at a table waiting for a class to begin, and I was sitting with a friend, and there was one seat between us, and he and I were talking, and Reed came up. He knew my friend. I wasn't aware of that. So he said hello real quick to my friend, and they talked for a moment, and then he leaned over to me. He's a tall man with big wide shoulders, very nice looking, blonde hair, and he touches his shoulder to mine and says, "And who are you?" And I said, "I'm Ruby Rider. I have a website and blog, podcast, peggingparadise.com, and I also teach about pegging." And he didn't even hesitate. He said, "Well, if you need a demo bottom, I'm really good at that. So anytime, let me know." You know, I don't fluster that easily, but that totally flustered me. I kind of went, "Well, you know, I don't normally actually do live demos," and it was a very funny moment. That's how I met Reed. Reed has t-shirts that say "Sex Geek" on them, and I bought one. I'm going to post a picture of me wearing it. I also, while I was waiting for the conference to begin, saw Ned and Maggie Mayhem. They have a website called meetthemayhems.com, and they are a pretty talented couple. They bill themselves as hardcore fucking nerds. They're definitely nerds. And they're definitely pretty hardcore fucking, too. They have different video clips. They do performances. They act in porn movies. They do a whole bunch of different things. And they're really, really educated about sex positive activism. And yeah, definitely nerds. So I saw them walk by. They were walking down the hall in the hotel. And I picked up my phone and I tweeted about it and said, wow, you know, I'm a little starstruck here. I just saw the Mayhems walk by. Now, the only reason I know anything about Ned and Maggie Mayhem is because they did a photo spread of pegging. And I'm pretty sure they were reviewing a toy, but nonetheless, I picked that up on my Google Alert and it came up in my feed, so I checked it out and that's how I found them. And so anyway, I tweeted that about how I'm a little starstruck because I just saw the Mayhems walk by, and I actually received a response from Maggie and said, come and say hi. So I did. And it was really fun to meet them. They look just as hot in real life as they do on their website, and I encourage everybody to go check it out. Charlie Glickman was there. He is the author and sex educator who has graciously offered me a position writing for the Good Vibes blog, and I'm still trying to discover how to crank up my writing production levels to include one more blog. He's got an amazing website himself with all kinds of amazing articles about different aspects of sexuality. He covers a lot of territory, and he's really highly educated. Carol Queen was there. Now, Carol Queen, for those of you who don't know, was the creator of the Bend Over Boyfriend movies and also starred in them with her partner. So, it's Bend Over Boyfriend, A Couple's Guide to Male Anal Pleasure. And, you know, that is actually many people's first exposure to strap-on sex. I did see these some years ago. And, unfortunately, I didn't get to introduce myself, but I'm absolutely going to be sending her an email. There was a lot going on at that conference, so some people that I really wanted to connect with, I never quite managed to, just a couple of them. But Carol is a worker and owner at the women-owned, worker-owned sex toy and book emporium, Good Vibes, which is, and she directs continuing education for the staff there. She also has a website called carolqueen.com. Ducky Doolittle was there. Now, I'd seen the name cruising around in all of the sex websites and blogs and the different links. I'd seen the name absolutely and wondered about it because it's an interesting name. This woman is a powerhouse of information, energy, sex positivity, and sexiness. She rocks. And she has a website, duckydoolittle.com. She hosted, at the conference, she hosted Dirty Bingo, which is what we did late one night. And, you know, I'll leave the details up to your imagination, but there was lots of profanity and lots of drinking, as well as lots of prizes. Speaking of prizes, I won some cool things. At the bingo, which I just mentioned, I won some lovely Tantus toys because Tantus was sponsoring. It was one of the sponsors of the event itself, and I won, if you want to look it up, I won the Tantus Raptor, which is a sizable toy. It has a suction cup on the bottom, and it has the not just the dildo, but the balls attached, so I haven't tried it on any of my strap-ons, but I'm absolutely looking forward to trying it on the strap-ons and using it on myself without the strap-on. I'll let you know. The other thing I won was a Tantus Tsunami, and that's got a little bullet vibe that goes inside, and so, you know, I'll be doing reviews for those when I get around to checking them out. The other thing I won that I was very excited about, this did not happen at Bingo, this was a whole separate presentation. Aneros rolled out a new toy. Aneros is the company that has the solo male prostate anal toys. And they came out with a solo female Kegel muscle toy. And Ducky Doolittle rolled that out and talked to us all about it and did a drawing and gave a bunch away, and I won one of those too. I have experimented with that a couple of nights, And it's really interesting. It's supposed to help you build the Kegel muscles, but it's also supposed to be quite stimulating to your G-spot. And it's got a little finger that comes up that touches the clit, too. I don't think that they are quite available yet, because Anaros rolled these toys out at this conference. So pretty soon they're going to be available to the public. But the whole point behind it is, as Ducky Doolittle explained, an orgasm is a random contraction of muscles resulting in pleasure. So it stands to reason the stronger those muscles are, the more pleasure you're going to have. So that's the whole deal behind it. Work those Kegels. And the toy is pretty cool. I've played with it and I've really enjoyed it. I haven't gotten the intense peaks of pleasure that the Ducky did, but I think she's a self-confessed total Kegel monster. So that was fun. I won a bunch of toys. Goodness sakes, it was a very lucky weekend for Ruby indeed. Tammy Nelson was there. Tammy Nelson taught a class called the New Monogamy, and you know, I didn't realize who she was. I have some friends in Chicago who shared a lot of the story about their relationship and their pegging journey with me, and they actually credited Tammy Nelson's book with revitalizing their marriage along with the pegging. And the name of that book was Getting the Sex You Want. Now, I had just purchased that on Amazon and it was sitting on my desk. So I go to the conference and I'm not really thinking about the name. I don't know. I know I'm going to read that book eventually because I'm really interested in what it has to say, but I wasn't paying particular attention to the class I chose and how the name was the same. And I walk in and it's the same woman that wrote the book. There I was in her class. She was teaching a class on the new monogamy, and I love some of the stuff she wrote about that. Let me read it to you. The new monogamy is fluid, honest, pleasure-based, experimental, and joyful. It is different than polyamory, not the same as an open marriage, and could lead to a new development in society with emotional and sexual freedom for all of us, if we can grow and mature quick enough to catch up with our potential. It was a very interesting class that she taught, and I was able to share the success story of her book through my friends. And she was quite pleased to hear that, so that was kind of a thrill to meet her. And this next person I met was completely unexpected. His name is Francisco Ramirez. This man's done a lot and been a lot of places. I had no idea he had that many qualifications. I heard Francisco Ramirez when Dan Savage had him as a guest on his show, and he was pretty much introduced as the young man who gives free sex advice in the park in New York. And he and Dan did a show where they answered questions to see if they would both answer the same way, to see if they would both give the same advice. And so there Francisco was in the opening keynote speaker. And I recognized his voice and came up and met him afterwards. And since 2008, Francisco has offered free advice on relationship, sex, and dating to passersby in New York parks and city streets. And he told a story about how he very first started doing that. His website's franciscoramirez.org, and he is an award-winning scholar in sexual and reproductive health. Another person who was there was Cunning Minx. I mentioned her in my 6th podcast. She has a polyamory blog and a podcast as well, and turns out that she's also quite talented in social media content strategy, and she taught us a class with all kinds of ways to optimize our efforts with all the social media connectedness and options that we have these days. And you know, just for folks out there who don't know, who are unsure, who wonder, polyamory, the definition of it is participation in multiple and simultaneous loving or sensual relationships. I find it interesting that in making the notes for this podcast, I had to add it to Microsoft's dictionary. I found it in other dictionaries on the internet, but I actually had to add it to Microsoft's. So there you have it. They're not real sex positive, Microsoft, maybe. You know, as a matter of fact, this is something that really ticks me off when I'm doing the auto or the right click. Okay, I've spelled that wrong. Because it tells me I've spelled it wrong because it's not a word that it recognizes. But then you try and add it to the dictionary and it won't let you add it. It's a weird little thing they do, and it's not very sex positive, I must say. I'd really like to do a right click on the word fucking and add it to the dictionary. At least it doesn't light up red anymore, but still. It's a weird little game that they play, Microsoft does. So, in addition to all of these amazing people, and so many that I didn't even name, there were a couple of my friends there, and I wanted to tell you about something that happened. I dined with them a couple of meals during the conference, and at one point in time, this couple and I were having lunch, and I was telling a story, and I was getting a little bit sexually graphic in my storytelling, and I kind of stopped and checked in and said, you know, do you mind if we have sex talk with lunch? And he didn't even pause for a moment. He didn't even bat an eye. He said, I prefer it that way. And, you know, that comment was really indicative and just really very representative of the attitude there at Catalyst Con. There was so much sex positivity. There was so much concern over the recent backwards direction of women's rights, the continued discrimination against adult material on the internet by payment processors and the big banks, and underneath it all, our desire, all of us, to help people have healthy, sexual, vibrant lives and relationships. I mean, that's why they were all there. There were so many amazing people who really, that's what was underneath it all. We want to help people. And to have to deal with all the weirdness and discrimination and the ways in which adult material, period, no matter whether you're a counselor talking about things, no matter whether you do like I do and write erotic stories, or you're actually doing video pornography, there's a lot of discrimination out there, and that's another kind of disheartening part that I found out about as well. Speaking of, did you know that there's actually legislations being enacted across the country that place unfair taxes on strip clubs? This is something I found out, and this is just an example of how we really have to stay alert as to what's going on around us, because there is a slow and very methodical taking away of sexual rights. In Houston, they passed a city council ordinance where strip club patrons are being hit with like a $5 tax. Now, when they did this, they did it sneaky because the money raised is going to go towards processing a huge backlog of rape kits in that city. And what that means is when there's a rape, they collect the evidence in a rape kit, but then it costs a lot of money. It costs $1,100 to process each rape kit. There's been cuts in the funding right and left all over the place. Who knows exactly where the funding came from to begin with? But it's just not there anymore. So they decide that they're going to have a new poll tax, you know, that's a P-O-L-E, a poll tax, to generate that like 1 to 3 million that they need for the city to process the rape kits. You know, and it's like, who's going to argue with that? Who's going to vote against it because you want the rape people to, you know, have the evidence processed so they can get the people who committed this horrible crime. So that's something it's really hard to fight against. But the reasoning behind connecting up the strip club with the rape kit thing, you know, is so not okay. There's a council member, Jack Christie, and here's what he said. He said he doesn't see the tax hurting the businesses, the strip businesses, because most customers can afford it. And here's his words. When you look at videos of these clubs and see women putting $5, $10, and $20 bills in their remaining clothing, I don't think a $5 tax will hurt anybody. Well, obviously, he's looked at the videos, the asshole. So the strip clubs are getting hit with the tax, and the supporters of the ordinance, which was it was supported by the mayor and it was approved like on a 14-1 vote. They say that, you know, the strip clubs, the supporters of it say the strip clubs should shoulder some of the costs of raped investigations because the establishments can cultivate unhealthy attitudes towards women that can lead to sexual assaults. Wow, there's a perfect correlation and not causation. There's a woman, Victoria Camp, she's deputy director of the Texas Association Against Sexual Assault, and she said, "No one in her field believes that if you walk into a strip club, you become a rapist." But still, she said, the environment that goes on at strip clubs fosters a culture that is more tolerant, at the very least, of sexual violence. Yeah, there is no known correlation between people going to nice, high-end gentlemen's clubs and rape. And even in 2009, there was even a report by the University of Texas at Austin that concluded that no study has authoritatively linked alcohol, sexually oriented businesses, and the perpetration of violence. But after they passed this, what they call it, the Sexually Oriented Business Fee Act, it was during a 2007 legislative session. Of course, the strip club owners immediately challenged the fee in court, and the suit wound its way up to the Texas Supreme Court, where in August of 2011, the justices ruled that the fee was directed not at the expression of nude dancing, but the secondary effects of nude dancing when alcohol is being consumed. They said adult entertainment businesses can avoid the fee altogether simply by not allowing alcohol to be consumed. The all-Republican state Supreme Court said that in the ruling, they said the $5 fee is too small to be considered a burden and that the state has a legitimate interest in curbing the, quote, secondary effects of nude dancing when alcohol is consumed, like potential violence. So the adult entertainment industry appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, who declined to hear the case. Boom. Wow, that door got shut. That was actually in January of 2012. And everybody in Texas is still kind of in a bit of a mess as to what to do with the money that's been collected and sitting in an account, what to do with the clubs that have never paid any money, because, you know, some paid, some haven't, and how to work it all out, but I'm sure they'll figure out that mess. But, you know, it's like they hook up strip clubs quite unfairly with rape. And they're an easy target because our society is so sex negative that they're coming to take your rights away as quickly as they can in areas like this. And no one is going to testify against that tax because there's sexual shaming in our society. Who wants to stand up there and say, oh, I go to a strip club and this is an unfair tax? Nobody's going to do that. So there's no swell of people protesting that this is unfair. And of course, if you make the beneficiary of the tax rape victims, no one's going to go against them, no matter where the money comes from. So this is not just in Texas. This is spreading across the country. Just last month, the governor of Illinois signed into law a new fee on strip clubs that's going to fund the rape crisis center there. And it was actually introduced in California in May, and it's going through the houses right now and fully expected to be protested. It was approved in Utah a long time ago. You know, God bless Utah, the place where the highest consumption of porn happens as compared to any other state. And also, Utah is one of the highest users of antidepressants. Okay, do you see what I did there? I drew a correlation, which does not show causation. Okay? And this is what they're doing. They're drawing a correlation, and because we do exist in a bit of a sex-negative society, especially with the way politics are leaning these days, then it makes it easier for them to kind of get away with this stuff. In June of 2011, the New York court actually ruled that lap dances are taxable. They took it to the New York Supreme Court, and the strip club owner said this. He said, "People may not like this on moral grounds, but on artistic grounds and on First Amendment grounds, there is no question. If you start drawing lines, you have no clear line to stop at. If it's exotic dance today, it can be rap music next year, or triple step music. It can be slasher films 5 years from now. Where is the line on art? You have to draw it as safe as you can to protect the freedoms." And I don't think a decision's been handed down in New York yet. I'm not really sure. I couldn't find anything in the internet about that. But all of this, I tell you, because to me it just feels like such sex-negative bullshit. And you should all be aware of that. I mean, I listen to Dan Savage all the time, and of course, he talks a lot about gay rights, and I follow that really closely. But But he said, you know, all you straight people out there, you better start paying attention, because after they take away our rights, they're going for yours. And they probably are already going for them. Well, I mean, this is it. This is exactly what they're doing. They take away the funding, and then they fund it by taxing the strip clubs unfairly. And they do it in such a way by making the beneficiaries of the tax practically impossible to say those people don't deserve money. Of course those people deserve money to do the things that they're proposing to do with the money. But the strip clubs are absolutely being discriminated against, and it's so sex negative and it's so unfair. And I'm wondering, readers, how many of you have been to strip clubs? I can still count the number of strip shows I've seen on one hand, and I have enjoyed every freaking show I've been to. In fact, I went to a strip club. I went to a Chippendales strip club back when it was still in Santa Monica. You know, for all of you who know how long ago that was, I'm showing my age a little bit here, but that was the best show I've ever been to. After it was in Santa Monica, and I think Santa Monica kind of kicked them out somehow. So see, back then, a lot of sex negativity as well. They moved to L.A., and from what I understand, the Chippendales Club, a woman used to own it when it was in Santa Monica, and then when it went to L.A., a man took it over, and it was pretty obvious. Everything changed about the club. I went there once when it was there, and then I went to Thunder Down Under in Las Vegas twice. I had a fun time there. Nothing like that first one at Chippendales, though. Maybe it was the thrill of the very first time I ever went to a strip club. I don't know. But it was pretty damn hot. I mean, that was masturbation material for a fucking long time, I gotta tell you. So, okay. Closing my rant on this subject of unfair taxes on strip clubs, I will leave you with this. And you know, I do have to say this information got spurred on by two people at the conference. One was Maggie Mayhem and the other was Marty Klein. Marty Klein has an amazing website. He's an author and he is a therapist, and he speaks all over the country. He has his thumb on the pulse of the political intersection, the intersection of politics and sex. And it's a kind of a scary thing right now, and so he was giving us a lot of information. So between he and Maggie, this is where I got all this information about the taxes, or at least where I got the beginning of it, and I looked it all up. But this last part, I'm pretty sure Maggie said this part. Could have been Marty, so if I'm misquoting, I apologize, but it was one of them. Richard Feynman, a Nobel Prize-winning physicist who helped develop the atomic bomb and figure out the source of the Shuttle Challenger explosion, he visited strip clubs nearly daily near his home in California. He mainly worked on lectures and equations there. So check this out. There's a Nobel Prize-winning physicist who was going to strip clubs and working on his lectures and equations. Awesome. It says, on breaks, Feynman would watch the dancers and draw them, and his wife was totally fine with this. So, you know, the people I know don't have a problem with strip clubs, but there's a whole bunch of people out there that do. But, you know, if we had to have some kind of person to hold up and say, well, look, this person goes to strip clubs, it'd be awesome for it to be Richard Feynman. I'm pretty sure Richard Feynman has passed. And so that would be also very convenient. It wouldn't be putting anyone in an awkward position. Because, again, the reason that people don't stand up and say, hey, this is an unfair tax, I go to a strip club, is because they're shaming around it. And sometimes they're shaming because they're going in secret and nobody knows. But Richard Feynman had a grand old time there and worked out all kinds of equations. Atomic bombs, I mean, goodness sakes. So there you go. And I think that is going to be my podcast for tonight. I have a bunch more stuff to say, and you guys have sent me some stories and some questions, which I really appreciate. Those are going to come up next week. And meanwhile, any other stories or questions that you have, just send them to rubyrider@peggingparadise.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Ruby_Ryder. On Facebook, you can subscribe to my blog if you like. And I will see you next week. Until then, as always, happy pegging.